This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So Monday was tax day, but in the week's frenzy of gathering your receipts and getting your return to the post office in time, you may have missed the important tax news that happened in Congress on April the 9th.
The House passing the Taxpayer First Act. It is a bipartisan bill that would permanently ban the IRS from offering its own free electronic tax system.
The Taxpayer First Act is a big, fat government handout to H&R Block, Intuit, and the rest of the for-profit tax prep industry. Through an agreement with the IRS, they currently offer free tax filing services to those taxpayers making less than $66,000 a year. But clicking on that option yields aggressive upselling that attempts to bait and switch users away from the free offer. H&R Block has spent $3.4 million lobbying the Congress. Intuit, which makes TurboTax, has given $3.1 million, and their voices were heard. For the second straight year, the bill has sailed through the House. But before the Senate voted last year, there was an intervention by tax scholar Dennis Ventry, whose opinion piece in The Hill called the free file program a scam. That bill subsequently failed to reach the Senate floor, and how it will fare this time around remains to be seen. Ventry is a law professor at the University of California, Davis. Dennis, welcome to OTM.
Thank you.
You've written about the reasons you think it's a terrible idea. One is that it would turn what amounts to a promotional come-on to permanent U.S. law. It could be called the Tax Preparation Industry Upsell Act, huh?
Well, I hadn't thought of that. I wish I had. Just yesterday, I was having a conversation with one of my students. She had used Free File this year. She qualified by income. She only had about $15,000 worth of adjusted gross income. And when she got to inputting something about educational expenses, the particular provider software indicated that she needed to purchase a fee-based upsell deluxe edition. When she got to her very nominal small business income, same thing. Sorry, you need to purchase a deluxe edition if you want to continue using us.
Now, the industry group, the Free File Alliance, is all for this legislation, and in support of it, they like to tout one number, that 70% of Americans, that is to say those who make less than $66,000 a year, have access to free filing. But that's kind of like a cable channel talking about how many homes their channel is in. It says nothing about how many people are actually tuning in.
Well, that's precisely right. So for last year, the number of 70% of taxpayers that are served by the Free File program, that amounted to 105 million out of about 155 million federal returns that were filed. But only 2.5 million actually used Free File to file their returns last year, which amounts to a woeful 1.6% of all taxpayers.
There are lies, damned lies, and statistics. Now, when OTM covered this issue before, we discussed that IRS has a budget for promotion and advertising Free File, and that budget is $0. It would seem to me that it would be easy to get that number for Free File users above 2% of the eligible taxpayer population if the government would tell people about it. Why hasn't the government told people about it?
Well, that's a good question. It does allocate about 3 full-time employees to the IRS Free File program, but beyond that, it doesn't do very much at all. Increasing the number from 1.5% or 1.6% or 2% in some years or 3% in other years should be first and foremost in the eyes of of the IRS, but the IRS doesn't do the kinds of things that it needs to do to figure out why taxpayers are not using this program with greater frequency. So they haven't conducted for a number of years any kind of surveys asking users why they used it or what their experience was like. They can't answer the question why less than half of all taxpayers who use Free File and are eligible to use it again the following year don't actually use the program. They don't take a more active role during filing season, actually going on and testing out the provider's software through mock returns and using different profiles of taxpayers to see how the software actually reacts and if in fact that upselling is going on, the extent to which it's going on. And so one is left with the conclusion, maybe the conclusion that is reluctant, at least as far as I'm concerned, because I'm very pro-IRS, I'm a fan of the agency, is that they really just don't care about this program from the standpoint of providing that consumer taxpayer protection, and they're much happier turning it over to private industry.
I want to ask you about the whole notion of an online free system for filing particularly short form taxes. In theory, at least, that makes sense, does it not?
In theory, the arrangement whereby private sector companies partner with the IRS, or for that matter, with a state tax agency, and assist low-income and middle-income taxpayers, in theory, that kind of partnership could work just fine. It just has failed. It doesn't mean that it can't work, but this current system is not working. And so if we're going to put that permanently in the Internal Revenue Code, it just doesn't make any sense.
And another one of your reservations is that should this be enshrined in the U.S. tax code, it would erase the responsibility for the IRS and the various vendors to periodically examine how the program is working.
It would make it significantly more difficult for the IRS to exercise any kind of oversight over this program. Having said that, those problems with the program that we just discussed are very much consumer protection problems, with the consumers in this instance being taxpayers. And these problems with Free File can be attributed just as much to the Free File providers as to the IRS. And what I mean by that is that the IRS, as the federal agency that's charged with protecting taxpayers and upholding taxpayer rights, has over the years failed to provide sufficient oversight of the program, notwithstanding calls for it to do so from, for instance, the National Taxpayer Advocate, consumer rights groups, the IRS Advisory Council, and then independent researchers as well. It is definitely true that the IRS is not in a position, even if they wanted to create and administer the kind of program that it would take to replace the current Free File program because of the significantly insufficient resources that Congress has given the IRS. I mean, indeed, budget since 2011 has been slashed by 16%. But there's another component to this, and it's just that the IRS has become overly reliant on industry, just generally speaking, the tax filing services firms. And what I mean by that is the IRS needs these firms. They need private sector tax services firms to assist it in implementing new tax laws, in updating forms, updating new provisions like hurricane disaster relief provisions that might be enacted by Congress even mid-tax filing season. And most importantly, the IRS has partnered with the private sector in a partnership called the IRS Security Summit, whereby the IRS, state tax agencies, and private sector services firms combat cybercrime and tax-related identity theft. And it has been wildly successful. Indeed, such tax-related identity theft is down about 25%. And so this partnership has gotten very cozy, so cozy that the IRS is very reluctant to disturb that at all.
What you're describing is a symbiotic relationship. The IRS needs the industry more than the industry needs the IRS, and vice versa. But, you know, a slightly more gimlet-eyed way of looking at it is agency capture, where the government entity is essentially in the hands of the industry that it nominally dictates.
The story of Free File from the very beginning is a story of agency capture. Over the course of the history of the program, the IRS has demonstrated zero appetite for protecting taxpayer rights by actively testing the free file program, filing mock returns, for instance. And that appetite has gone from zero to negative with this latest collaboration with private industry, which on the one hand is incredibly beneficial to taxpayers. That is reducing tax-related identity theft. But on the other hand, because they're doing that, they can't actually exercise their oversight responsibility with respect to a program that purports to cover 70% of taxpayers.
In 2018, the Taxpayer First Act sailed through the House, and it was unanimously passed in the House. And this year, very recently, it passed in the House again. Now, last time around, the Senate had a couple of options. It could have voted on the House bill, or it could have introduced its own legislation, and it did the latter. Why?
Well, there are a lot of things in the Taxpayer First Act that the Senate didn't like. As April led into May, then June and July, and they and their staffs started getting educated about and becoming aware about the shortcomings of the program.
Became educated. By what mechanism, did they become educated?
Well, I, for one, wrote a long memo to the IRS in May, which demonstrated why codifying the free file program was a bad deal, not just for taxpayers, but also for the IRS itself. I mean, indeed, the program bears the imprimatur of the IRS. And when people use that program, whether they like it or don't like it, at the end of the day, they think that they're using an IRS program. And the IRS basically, in response to me, and I made it very clear, I was sending along this memo just from my sort of personal perspective and not in any sort of official capacity. The response was basically thanks, but no thanks, at which point I pulled together a bunch of folks that I know cared about this issue, and we started reaching out to a handful of different Senate offices and going around and trying to educate them about how Free File was a failed program that harmed taxpayers and that codifying it would be a significant problem. And part of that educational process involved publishing a couple op-eds, one that ran in The Hill and the other that ran in Politico, and then a long piece that I published in a publication called Tax Notes, which is a sort of a leading tax policy journal that policymakers in Washington are very familiar with.
And it worked, but then something else happened.
That's right. Within a week of those publications coming out, I received a Public Records Act request through the California Public Records Act from a law firm that was representing some requester. That requester, it turns out, was the Free File Alliance.
The industry lobby.
The request asked for all of my materials in my possession, including texts, emails, written documents, voice messages, etc., dating all the way back to January 1st of 2018 that had anything to do with the Free File Alliance, and also named individuals explicitly that they thought that I might have been in communication with, including individuals that, but for their association with me, would never have been subject to such a request because they were at private institutions and not at public institutions.
Well, I don't mean for this to sound insulting, but it sounds to me as if you have blundered into an issue that is actually more important and more ominous for the society than the question of free filing income taxes?
Well, I mean, I would say that they're equally important in the sense that, at least to the extent that free file purports to cover 70% of taxpayers, 105 million, but I certainly get your point. Indeed, this is the public's right to know about how their institutions, their taxpayer-funded institutions, conduct themselves. And historically, what that meant was the agencies, the commissioner of insurance, those kinds of officials, and not the professors conducting the research and generating the scientific discoveries, at least the research process. And so there's a movement, including in my home state of California, to create an exemption within the Public Records Act of my state, and other a few other states have also picked this up, and some have accomplished it, of carving out an exemption for the collaborative, iterative research process of public post-secondary researchers and professors.
One last thing, Dennis. What's going to happen?
Well, that remains to be seen. This is like the most intimate relationship that you can have with the government, at least for the 155 million taxpayers who file every year. I mean, they don't interact with their federal government, any other agency, the way that they interact with the IRS. It happens every single year, whether people want to or not. And to the extent that that can be improved upon, it seems like that's an important kind of pursuit. The Free File program hasn't worked. The IRS continues to totally abdicate its responsibility to provide any kind of oversight over the program and to protect taxpayer rights. When the policymakers and legislators and staff members see that, they'll react the way that they did last year, and that is to not codify the Free File program and make it a permanent part of the Internal Revenue Code.
Dennis, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Dennis Ventry is a law professor specializing in tax policy at the University of California, Davis.
'Cause from them total wages earned down to that net amount that's due, I feel a painful sense of loss between the two.
On the Big Show this week, more on the tax legislation and a detour into the industry's tactics to slow critics down. I'm Bob Garfield. See you then.
State income tax. There goes that brand new Pontiac. Withholding tax. There goes a shirt right off my back. You can dream about a honeymoon for two. Yes, you can dream, but that's about all.